to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for August 6, 2023, The Transfiguration of Our Lord Jesus Christ by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So a little over a week ago, I saw a very important theological movie called Barbie. Now, I'm a little traumatized by Barbies because when my girls were little, they had Barbies. And at church, they would play with Barbies at the front, and then they wanted to be the first to get to coffee hour. So they would rush to the back and say hi to me and hand me their Barbies, which is okay. But they had this habit. I don't know if anybody else did this or if it was just their weird thing. They would always take all the clothes off the Barbie. So I would greet my parish in my vestments holding two naked Barbies. But it gets worse. One day we were at a restaurant after church having our lunch at a Friendly's restaurant in upstate New York, and once again, I'm at the cash register holding a naked, I always seem to be holding a naked Barbie, and I hear a voice from behind me, "Hey, Father," and I look around and there's two big cops there having their lunch. I said, "Yes, officer, how can I help you?" "Nice Barbie." But anyway, I went to the movie and I was charmed by it. I thought it was fantastic. It was obviously Mattel selling, they're gonna sell a lot of Barbies after this movie, I'm sure. But there was depth to the movie as well. It was a sort of coming-of-age story, a classic kind of journey of discovery as Barbie has to figure out who she is. She lives in Barbie world where everything's perfect, and then she goes into the real world. Hope I'm not spoiling this for anybody, and has all these adventures. And in it, there were some profound questions. What is the meaning of our life? How do we use the experiences that we have to learn and grow and discover who we are? This is a deep question that we face as young people figuring out what we're going to do with our life, but it never really goes away. When I was in Arizona the other day on my way to LA with my daughter, we stopped by and visited with her grandfather and his wife, my wife's father and his wife, and they're asking those same questions. Susan's dad is about 88, and as some of you know who are chronologically enhanced, those you go through different phases, right? You start to wonder if you've been an active person who's been productive all your life, what does it mean when you can't do those things? What does it mean when you're limited mentally or physically in your scope of life? How do you find meaning and purpose at every stage of life? These are crucial spiritual questions that all of us face. And the answers are not always easy. Right? We have to kind of rediscover a sense of who we are. For my father-in-law and his wife, part of the answer is they're shifting from a life of doing, producing and active, to a life of being. What does it mean to really understand who we are made in the image of God, and how does that help us to grow spiritually? Well, in our lessons today, we get a glimpse of what it looks like when our true nature is revealed. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God. He comes back with the Ten Commandments. Somehow I always think of Mel Brooks and the, but anyway, I'm sure it was different. He comes down with the Ten Commandments and they notice something has changed. Moses looks different. His face is glowing and people cannot handle this. They completely freak out because he's been changed by being in the presence of God. Something has happened in him that has made his face glow. He is reflecting the glory of God. And so he has to put a veil on because it's just freaking people out. They can't be in the same room with him without losing their mind. So he puts the veil on. And in our gospel today, Jesus goes up on a similar mountain to meet with God. He is there to pray. When Jesus prays, he prays powerfully. That is how he touches base with his Father. That is how he re-energizes himself and gets clarity about his purpose, his identity, and his mission, and he is just about to enter the most difficult phase of his earthly ministry. He is just about to set his face to Jerusalem and walk the long road to the cross. And so he takes this moment on the mountain to be with God, and he brings with him the inner circle of disciples, Peter and John and James, and they get to witness something amazing. As Jesus prays, as he is in the presence of God, he begins to shine. He begins to manifest the glory that has been in him all this time. The veil is removed, and they see the glory of God in Jesus really clearly for the first time. Peter is stumbling all over. What do I do? What do I say? How about if we build some booths? You know, we'll make a shrine up here. And Jesus says, whoa, whoa. Just be still. Just experience this moment of grace. I think the disciples needed that glimpse of the glory of God because they too were going to be following Jesus on this road to the cross and beyond. They too were going to need to experience the glory and power of God in their lives if they were going to carry out their mission as disciples. They had 3 years of preparation, but now was crunch time. Now they needed that vision of God's glory. I think all of us are struggling in our own ways to understand who we are and how we are reflecting the deep reality that we are made in the image of God. I think we're all struggling to figure out what is our purpose on earth and how are we supposed to live it out. We have so many obstacles. We have voices of self-doubt. If you're like me, it's like, well, you shouldn't try that. You're not going to be successful at that, right? There's always that voice of doubt and failure. Or there's the worry about what people are going to think. If I really live boldly, people are going to think I'm crazy, right? I can't do that. We're limited. We are veiled by so many things in our life. Perhaps it's messages we receive from childhood. Perhaps it is an inner sense of insecurity or doubt, but whatever it is, it prevents us from fully living into our identity. As I was reflecting on this, I was thinking about my Aunt Winifred, who grew up in New York City. She married my dad's brother, Jack, and Winifred was really one of the first people I ever met in my life who seemed to live with no fear whatsoever. She did not care what anybody else thought. She was going to live her life on her terms. She was a remarkable woman, and she terrified me when I was a child because she would look you right in the eye and grill you. I mean, a conversation with her was like being interrogated by the FBI. You came out kind of shaky. But she also did some amazing things in her life. She decided that she wanted to learn languages, so she would take Italian for 3 months, and then she would go to Italy and just, without any self-restraint at all, she'd just butcher the Italian language joyfully all over the place. And people were charmed by her because she was so unself-conscious. She decided she was going to be an artist, and so she, on one of these trips, she went to career. She had taken classes at community college in sculpture, then she went to Italy, butchering the language. She went to Carrara, where Michelangelo quarried marble, and she went with this group and she started making marble sculptures. She tried to sell them. She never sold a single sculpture. She didn't care. She just kept doing it because that was who she was. She was a model for me of one way, an eccentric way, to live fully into the life that she was given, boldly, without reservation, without fear. And she loved passionately, she lived passionately, and I miss that. I struggle in my own life to be like that. There's a wonderful story that's told by the Desert Fathers, right? There's all these great stories of these monks who lived as hermits in the desert. One young monk, Abba Lot, went for probably for his spiritual direction to Abba Joseph. And he came to Abba Joseph, and he was bent over like this. He said, Abba Joseph, I I keep my little rule of life, and I do my little fasting, and I say my prayers, and as far as possible, I speak peacefully with everyone. What else can I do? And Abba Joseph looked at this young monk, and then he stood up, and he raised his hands to the sky, and his 10 fingers were like flames of fire. And he said to Abba Lot, if you will, you can become all flame. If you will, you can become all flame. What would it look like to be on fire like that? To be so wholly given over to the glory and presence of God that we lost all of those inhibitions and fears and we lived courageously into the life that God has given us. What would that change in our life? Saint Irenaeus of Lyon, one of the great third century saints of the church, put it this way. The glory of God, he said, is a human being fully alive. Fully alive. I believe that when the disciples saw Jesus on the mountain, when the people of Israel saw Moses, they saw for an instant someone who was fully alive, fully living into the image of God, fully becoming who they were meant to be. When Barbie made her journey from Barbie land to the real world, she went through a kind of transformation as well. And that changed everything for her. I believe our invitation, our calling, is to think about this. Whether we are starting our lives, whether we are partway through the journey. My dad used to break, he was a football guy, he used to break it down into quarters. Whether you're in the first quarter of life, the second quarter of life, the third quarter, or even the fourth quarter of life, what would it look like for you to be fully alive, reflecting the glory of God, living unabashedly into the love, generosity, and abundance of the God who made you and loves you and calls you into a life you can't imagine? What would that look like? And how might it set you free to live courageously, freely, and lovingly? Amen.